Hello, let's come learn a sicha together, the sicha of Re'eh. Aleph, Chelek Yudalet, volume 14, it talks about blood. That's the sicha, it's about blood. Because in this week's parsha, it says, Rak chazak, be strong, levilti echol hadam ki adamu anefesh, to make sure not to eat blood, because blood is the soul. Now Rashi goes on the words, it's a Rashi sicha. Those on the words, Rak Chazak Levilti Achol Adam, and explains two interpretations. From the fact that it says Chazak, be strong, it means that the Jews were saturated, shtufen, they were full of blood, eating blood, and therefore we have to say Chazak. That's what Rabbi Yehuda says. Ben Azai says, no, the Torah is coming to tell you about all the other mitzvahs. And if blood, which is so easy to stay away from, nevertheless, the Torah has to tell you to be strong about it, how much more so to the other mitzvahs, which are taka, much more tempting and much more desirable. So the Rebbe asks many questions on this Rashi. Fundamentally, they look like opposites. They're arguing over facts. One person says they were saturated with blood. The other one says that blood is easy to stay away from. So which one is it? And also the fact that it changes a lot of the nusach, it changes a lot of the words from the source, because the source of Rashi is from the Medrash Sifri. Now the Sifri adds words, or rather Rashi deducts words. The Sifri adds the words that in the first interpretation, the interpretation of Rabbi Yehuda, he says they were full of blood before Matan Torah. And Rashi does not say the words they were full of blood, but rather says they were full of blood, but he doesn't say before Matan Torah. In other words, applying that they were still full of blood. So again, is it an argument on facts, etc.? And Rashi's much more lengthy, etc., various different nuances in the girsa, in the version of Rashi. Comes the Rebbe and explains, fundamentally, Rashi was bothered by one question. Not the question was, why did they have to say Chazak? But rather, the question is, why are they being told about blood again? Why are they being told about blood? So you cannot say it's like the Sifri, that they were saturated with blood before Mantara, because this is 40 years later, so why is he talking about it? And why didn't it say Chazak in the previous times of blood? Why only now? It's not the first time we're mentioning blood. So rather, you must say that they were still saturated with blood. Now, that's why we have to say Chazak. But you ask the question, seemingly, machlekes b'metzias, they're arguing over fact. One person says they were full of blood, the other one says that they didn't have a desire. The Rebbe has a very interesting insight. Sometimes you don't have a desire for something, but nevertheless you take it. Why? Because you believe it's a skula, you believe in certain medicines. You don't like a lot of the medicines you take, a lot of herbs people take, or, you know, alternative stuff. But they'll take it because they believe in it. So according to the first interpretation, according to Rabbi Yehuda, they were takas saturated, but they were not out of desire, but rather because they wanted it. They felt that it had powers, whatever it could be. Versus the other opinion, who says pretty much the same thing, but just focuses on the other element that they didn't have a desire. Ein adam misavelen, they didn't have a desire. It's true. They both agree that they didn't have a desire. But the first opinion says, nevertheless, they still used to take it. Versus the other opinion, Ben Azai, who says they didn't take it. Rebbe says the problem is with the first interpretation, if they were taka full of blood, then why didn't it say it back in Vayikra? Back to this original question. In other words, why didn't you say it in the past? And if they've been warned so many times, after 40 years, they're still full of eating blood, they're still shtufim, they're full of it, especially it's a new generation. The previous generation died, the new generation that's been already inculcated with the prohibition, they should still want it. So therefore Rashi says, you know what, I'll bring a second opinion, Ben Azai, that they taka weren't full of blood. And it's coming to tell you about other mitzvahs, that if Hashem warns you a mitzvah, which is not even a desire for you, how much more so other mitzvahs. But the problem is, with this interpretation, it doesn't explain why it said Chazak by Dan. Yeah, you're learning to other mitzvahs. Well, Why? Why taka by dam? It's the Rebbe said it's hard to say that's only to teach you for other mitzvahs. There has to be some kind of chizuk, strengthening, empowerment for this avera blood as well. And like the Rebbe says, it says later on in the parsha when we talk about eating meat out of desire, because at that stage people were not allowed to. You have to. He says again, rak chazak lebilti yachadam. He says I'm going to allow you to eat meat, but rak chazak again. Don't eat blood. In other words, kisav and avshcha, you have a desire to eat meat. It seems to imply that there's a desire for meat as well, and for blood as well. So therefore, the Rebbe says, it's shver the second pshat. It doesn't fit into the words of the text. Rak chazak lebilti achal adam. So therefore, it's a second interpretation. The first interpretation fits the words, but the context is struggle. Like, why? Why are they still eating blood? What's going on? Says the Rebbe, he takes it a step further. The names. Let's go into the names and let's try to understand why Rabbi Yehuda and Ben Azai are not taking each other's opinion. Where is it coming from and why is one stronger than the other? The Rebbe says, if you follow the names and you follow statements that they said, you'll understand there's a consistency and a coherence to their worldview. Rabbi Yehuda says, when it talks about when you have a dead animal that wasn't shechted, wasn't slaughtered, you give it away to somebody else. And the pasuk uses, you should give it to a ger, to a foreigner, titnena, you could give it, umachar lenachri, and you could sell it to a non-Jew. Now, obviously, it's not talking about a ger tzedek, it's talking about a ger teshev, which means somebody that accepted the mitzvahs, but obviously a ger tzedek wouldn't be able to eat this meat. Now, in other words, he's literal, because the Torah says, leger asher b'sharecha tichli, titnena, give it to the ger, or machar lanachri, or sell it to a non-Jew. So he says, then you must give it to that person or sell it to that person. Versus the other opinions, that they're saying, okay, you know, like, don't be so literal. Don't be such a literalist. He's just giving two examples, but he's not saying dafka to the ger teshev, you do it this way, and to the other person, you do it that way. Ben Azai, on the other hand, he takes it a bit broader. He gives an example, the Rebbe, that says, "Have a ratz mitzvah kalak machamur, run to a small mitzvah like a big mitzvah." So you add a mitzvah gerus mitzvah, one mitzvah leads to another mitzvah. Same thing with avera. And in other words, he sees the priority on the small thing leading to big things. So for him, it fits the worldview. This idea that chazak to not eat blood, even though it's not even a temptation, it leads to another mitzvah, mitzvah gerus mitzvah. Versus Rabbi Yehuda, who says, hey, literal, chazak lebilti achel adam means don't eat the blood. Don't sit there telling me that's implying on other mitzvahs. So, okay. So based on the fact that we said that Rabbi Yehuda is dvarim kiksavam, literal, and Ben Azai is to take some, to chase something small so that it can lead to something big or avoid the small prohibition that you'll avoid the serious prohibitions, how do we know that they won't agree with the other point of view? Maybe they both agree with each other. So he says, interesting, he brings a Gemara brachas. Ben Azai one time followed Rabbi Akiva into the bathroom. And he learned three different things about how a person should behave in the toilet. Stinius accepted. Rabbi Yehuda, who's the Rabbi Yehuda of our context, turns to him and says, "Ad kani asta panech b'rabecha, that's how much chutzpah you had to go follow your teacher into the bathroom." Amar Loisa, Ben Azai responds, "Torah hi v'lumud amitzar." Sorry, bro, it's Torah. And I have to learn it. Now, what are they arguing about? Obviously, everyone knows that you have to learn Torah. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't argue with it. But Rabbi Yehuda says, we learn in the literal, we do it the right way. You go to the shul and you go to yeshiva and you ask Rabbi Akiva, "Rabbi Akiva, tell me how to behave in the bathroom." But when Azai says, "No, you have to be a little more ambitious. You don't just sit there in the shul. You have to see the reality the way it is. It's very easy. You know, it's easy for him to say, but until I actually see it with my own eyes, how he behaves modestly in the bathroom, I don't fully understand it. Therefore, I have to chase you." And Azai takes everything, the smallest little chumrah, the smallest little prohibition or extrinsicy, and he chases it. Rabbi Yehuda sits there saying, whoa, it's taka Torah, you need to learn Torah, but ask your teacher if there's any halachas that you have to know for a bathroom. He brings another example. Ben Azai says, don't allow any witch, Mechshefa Leisachaya, don't allow any witch to live. And then it says, whoever sleeps with an animal, bestiality, will be killed. What's the connection between one following the other? Just like someone who sleeps with an animal, it's skilla, so too somebody who's a witch gets skilla, gets pummeled with stones and thrown off a cliff. And Rabbi Yehuda turns to him and says, again, just because it's right next to one another, therefore you have to say it's the punishment. And he learns it out of somewhere else. He learns it out of the fact, Eiva Yedaini, which are more similar in theme to the Machshefa versus the fact that one's next to the other. So again, you see the same thing. Ben Azai, Derish Smuchin, Ben Azai sees whenever one thing in Torah is one another, we take it literally. Rabbi Yehuda is just saying, no, we can learn it from somewhere else. In other words, we have to learn it from a clear interpretation. And the clear interpretation is Oven Yedoni are the exact same thing as Machshefa. And so too, just like they have Skilla, they'll also have Skilla. In other words, Rabbi Yehuda has a proof. What was Rabbi Yehuda's proof? The fact that Oven Yedoni are part of magicians and never witches. And they're given their own definition, that Yetzim and Aklal, a detail came out of the general rule. So from there you learn that all, not only the details, but all the general rule have skilla. So you have to learn it from an actual limud. And Menasseh is much more comfortable saying one followed the other. So what do you see? You see that both of them cannot agree. Ben Azai will always, you know, look for a deeper lesson. He won't be a literalist. He'll, you know, expand. Yeah, the fact that one follows the other, you learn a lesson. Rabbi Yehuda is saying, no, no, no. It has to be literal in the text. Don't sit there stretching. Don't chase your rabbi into the bathroom. Be focused the literal. So if it says, Chazak l'bilti achol adam, don't eat blood. Straight up. Garnish. Finishes the Rebbe, Noi Zayin, Yena Shel Torah, Chassidus of Rashi. The reason that Torah tells us not to have blood, Ki adamu ha-nefesh, because blood is a soul. And the Mefarshim explain, the Ramban, the Chinuch, etc., that even though in the flesh of the animal, there's also soul, so why should you be able to eat the flesh but not the blood? There's a difference between the flesh where the nefesh is sitting in other words, it's a home for the nefesh versus the blood, shahu ha-nefesh, adam hu ha-nefesh, it's the actual soul. Everything that we eat becomes blood and flesh. And when a person eats the animal, he doesn't get the nefesh of the animal. If he eats the meat, he's not getting the actual soul of the animal. You have to chew it, etc., etc., and then it comes into your nature. But blood, you don't have to digest, you don't have to chew. And literally, you take it, it becomes part of you, and that's the actual nefesh of Bahim, but you don't want to become an animal. You don't want to get the infection. You don't want to get the virus, the coronavirus. No, you don't want to get the teva, the nature of the animal. You are what you eat. And the Rebbe says, people who are saturated with blood, in other words, that's the midas of Nefesh HaBehemah, that's the character, that's the passion of an animal soul, it's like a behemoth. And that's the two interpretations of Rashi. First, Rashi tells us that they were full of blood and therefore they had to be told, Chazak. What does that mean? That me, the Jew, the human being, I am overcome by impulses of my midas, of my Nefesh HaBehemah, and therefore I have to be told, Chazak, be strong, don't give in to your animal. And Rabbi Yehuda says this, Rabbi Yehuda is from the Lashon, Oides Hashem, the original Yehuda, the fourth son of Leah, got his name because of Bittul. I now acknowledge Hashem, and acknowledgement is Bittul, Moide Menachol Loch, Moide Ani. And therefore, because a person has a Bittul, is given themselves over, they break themselves, and they elevate themselves that they overcome their temptation. Rabbi Shimon ben Azai was a totally different level. He never got married. He was chasing. He was on a much higher level. Kol cheftze magamasi alalis b'teira. His whole passion was to chase Torah, etc., etc. And therefore, he'll chase his teacher into the bathroom. So he says, the Torah is not here to sit there telling you how to change your nature. Ach, that's the easy part. He's telling you to go to lazhircha, the interpretation of lahazir is not only to warn, but to lighten up, that you should be elevated. You should have an incredible level. In other words, you should have almost an ishapcha, that If for something that you don't have a desire, which is to follow your animal soul, a Torah tells you chazak, how much more so things that you could achieve a much, much, much higher level of light. In other words, Rav Shimon Azi is a bit out of it. He's the level of a tzaddik, and he sits there saying, what to deal with your temptation of animal soul is a challenge. But the truth is, obviously, both elements have a truth, and that is, on the one hand, we have the animal soul, and we have to acknowledge it and fight it. On the other hand, also aspire, like Rav Shimon ben Azai, to the greatest levels possible. L'chaim, l'chaim, and we should have tremendous hatzlacha.